On the Finest podcast, we cover the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego, from Blink 182 to scrappy local bands. We also have cults, a lost composer, a world record traveler, and champion birders. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, March 9th, marking Ramadan as the conflict in the Middle East continues. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Today, the city says it will start to issue warning notices to visitors who don't pay to park at Balboa Park. Actual ticketing begins next Monday, the 16th. For Level 1's premium lots, residents must pay $8 for the day and $5 for 4 hours. Residents parking in the Level 2 or Level 3 lot can now park for free. But in order to get the cheaper or free parking, residents need to register online. The city now has digital navigators that can assist with the online registration. You can reach them at 1-800-350-6945. Public confidence in driverless vehicles remains low. That's according to a new report out of UC San Diego. It finds there is skepticism about the impact they'll have on driving and delivery jobs, as well as their ability to safely navigate city roads. Around 85% of those polled feel that driverless cars would lead to job losses. More than 62% say they would probably or definitely not want to ride in a driverless vehicle. A 4S Ranch 8th grader named Benjamin Reinhardt is now a regional spelling bee champion. This past Thursday, Benjamin won the San Diego County Scripps Regional Spelling Bee. He was able to correctly spell kenosis in the 23rd round, besting 78 other spellers. Benjamin will now head to Washington, D.C., where he will represent San Diego County in late May. Congrats and good luck, Benjamin. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the City of Chula Vista and the Port of San Diego hosting South Bay Earth Day at Bayfront Park on Saturday, April 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with tips on how to reduce your impact on the environment and hands-on green activities, food, and music. Additional information at southbayearthday.com.
We are in the middle of Ramadan, the holiest month in the Muslim world. But as reporter Alexander Wen shows us, the war in the Middle East is casting a shadow over the month of prayers and reflection.
As we enter the last 10 days of Ramadan, Muslims pray for mercy and forgiveness. The uncertainty over the war is weighing on the minds of many, like Khalid Helmi.
It's really unfortunate and it's very, very difficult for all of us right now.
Like many Muslims in San Diego, Helmi has family in the Middle East and is worried about them.
We feel so deeply hurt by their situation.
Ramadan ends on March 19th, followed by a celebration called Eid. Helmi says he doesn't feel like celebrating this year.
It's not something that you know sits well with you, right? You wanna try and have everybody have harmony and peace during this time, and for there to be a war, it's disheartening.
Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
School board members spend a lot of time making decisions that affect a community's kids. They're often not paid very much to do the job, but that's changing in some parts of the county. Education reporter Katie Anastas says a new state law is giving school boards their first opportunity for a major pay raise in 40 years.
California allows school board members to get monthly compensation for their service. A new state law updates how much they can get paid for the first time since 1984. Previously, they could earn no more than $1,500 a month, depending on the size of the school district. Now, board members in small districts can get up to $600, and in large districts, they can get up to $4,500. California Assemblymember Jose Luis Solache wrote the bill. He's a Democrat from Los Angeles County.
In many districts, the level of compensation makes it harder for individuals who are supporting themselves and their families to consider serving on school board.
He says he was 23 when he was elected to his local school board and got paid $400 a month.
Can you imagine $400? This is why young people can't get as involved and engaged.
School boards throughout San Diego County have given themselves raises since the law went into effect in January. Some have faced opposition from teachers' unions and community members. Maya Leisure leads the South Bay Union School District's Classified Employees Union. On Thursday, she asked the board to consider postponing an increase for now.
I'm asking you respectfully and sincerely to make a good faith gesture. Maybe wait.
The South Bay Union School District is preparing to close schools amid declining enrollment. The district plans to send layoff notices to more than 50 teachers and other staff this month.
Hold off on a raise until we are out of the woods. Show employees, families, and the community that we're all sacrificing together and all pulling in the same direction. Because right now, your decision will send a message.
The board voted to increase its pay from $275 to $1,200 a month. Board member Jose Lopez Aguino says it could allow more parents to represent South Bay's community on the school board.
Most of the families in our district are struggling to make ends meet. There's no way a parent is going to be able to be here and represent the community. That's why school boards are usually old, rich, white people.
In 2025, the California School Boards Association surveyed school board members about their demographics. More than 60% of respondents said they were white. Meanwhile, more than half of California's students are Latino, and 20% are white. Aguino says he's been debating whether or not to run for re-election next year because he can't afford to live in San Diego anymore. He's been looking for a replacement.
It's so hard to recruit somebody. There's not one person so far that I've came across that's interested in doing this job. So I think if I told them they were going to get paid $1,200 a month, that might help.
Julie Marsh studies education policy at the University of Southern California.
We know that school board members are not demographically representative of their communities.
She recently surveyed 800 school board members throughout the state. She says the stipend increase could allow a wider range of people to bring their expertise to the role.
Even just beyond just the demographic representation and diversity, people also wanted more diverse thought and perspective, and it sort of narrowed the lens of the viewpoints that were of the people who were coming to the board.
She says compensation is just one barrier to serving on a school board. It also takes a lot of time. Boards review budgets, evaluate a superintendent, visit schools, and meet with community members.
We heard from them over and over that it was more time intensive than they had ever expected, and that they were struggling to balance the commitments of the board with their employment, with their family, and other responsibilities.
All that together means fewer people running for school board seats. Half of the board members Marsh surveyed said they ran unopposed or were appointed in their last election. If no one runs, school boards have to appoint someone to fill vacant seats. South Bay board member Cheryl Quinones hopes the higher pay will help avoid that.
I would rather have an open election with somebody running that's elected by the people, not appointed by a board.
Del Mar, Grossmont, Lemon Grove, and other school boards have already voted to increase their pay. Santee's board plans to consider it this month. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
San Diego County opened two wait lists for affordable housing communities this morning. Penner fellow Emmy Burris says this comes after Section 8 waitlist closures across the county.
New Section 8 waitlists are now open for a specific type of voucher tied to properties. Marisol Meadows in Fallbrook will have 10 units for low-income families, and Via Serena 2 in San Marcos will have 47 units for low-income seniors. San Diego County's general Section 8 waitlist closed last month due to limited federal funding and high demand. Most of the six housing authorities throughout the county have similarly closed their waitlists. But funding for the Fallbrook and San Marcos projects was finalized in 2024, and these new waitlists will be open until March 20th. Nick Martinez is the assistant director at the County of San Diego Housing and Community Development Services Office.
You don't have to sign up on the first day. It's not first come, first serve. You can sign up online through an online portal, over the phone, or in person.
The county will screen those chosen through a lottery system to make sure their income is below 50% of the area median income. The developer will also screen candidates. Martina said the county is expecting thousands of applicants for both locations. Emmy Burris, KPBS News.
This year marks 250 years since the Declaration of Independence was signed. As part of our continuing local coverage of American identity, we went out to the campus of San Diego State University. Emmy Burris and Jake Gatta started by asking what being American means today, and they handed over the mic.
My name's Natalie Garcia. overall, no, I'm not proud to be an American. It is disheartening to identify as an American, given that right now it seems that America stands for just violence and lack of diversity, which is really conflicting given, you know, we normally do celebrate diversity. People say immigration is the law that you have to follow, but I feel like sympathy is something that we should have more of. And I get that, like, people coming here legally is against the law, but at the end of the day, it's like we all want better life for ourselves. And as a good citizen, you should be empathetic of people who want a good life as well.
My name's Joel Barandiaran Whitehead. I am proud to be an American. I think that even with the things that are going on politically that I don't agree with, Americans as a people should be proud that our country can go through hardship and continue to flourish. I think we have a right for peaceful protest, right to assembly. I think that these things that are enshrined in our Constitution and in the amendments are very important to what makes America America and what makes America great.
Hi, I'm Wendy Scott, and I'm a professor here at San Diego State. I'm very proud to be an American. America's not perfect, but that's why we have this great foundation that we can build on and keep growing. We have to remember what America's about. The other side is not as bad as you think. Just have a conversation with them. We dedicated ourselves to the idea that, you know, unless you're inciting violence or threatening violence or violating the law in some other way, people have a right to have their opinions. And when we remember that, I think we can come back and talk to each other again.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Stay tuned over the coming months as KPBS continues covering local perspectives on 250 years of American history. A new exhibition at UC San Diego's Mandeville Art Gallery focuses on Faith Ringgold, a multidisciplinary artist whose work emerged during the Black Arts Movement that began in 1965. Ringgold was also a faculty member at UCSD's Department of Visual Arts. Faith Ringgold Full Circle, the Teachings and Her Legacy is curated by Mashonda Tifrere. I caught up with Mashonda at the gallery to discuss her curation, Ringgold's legacy, and the exhibition. Here's our convo.
Mashonda, let's start really, really simple. What inspired you as a curator to even get involved and want to represent Faith Ringgold's legacy?
There are so many reasons why I'm inspired by this woman. I think the main thing is that she's from Harlem. I'm from Harlem. There's so many similarities in the visuals and aesthetics of how she explains her childhood and things that she saw growing up. We went to the same hospital. You know, we walked the same streets. And ultimately, I feel like we felt the same energy as children. And so when I was asked to do this, all of that came to mind very quickly, and I was like, absolutely. I also love the fact that she fought really hard for women's rights in the art industry, which is like my entire career. My platform, Art Leader, is dedicated to women and them being more represented, and that was Faith's lifelong goal. Faith had everything to do with this. I feel like she set this up on her own, and the alignment is so perfect for everything that her work represents and who she was as a woman, a Black woman in America making work.
Talk to me about the ways that Full Circle focuses on her being multidisciplinary, not just painting, not just quilts.
So the artworks in this show span 5 decades of Faith's artistic practice. And it really represents her as a multidisciplinary artist. What I love, one of the things I love the most, is her ability to be such a brilliant writer and how she incorporates that into her story quilts. She tells the most funniest, clever stories in these quilts. If you ever have a moment, you've got to just stand in front of it and read everything. I also love that she made soft sculptures. We also have 2 of those here as a part of the exhibition. Faith was a performance artist as well, so she would make these soft sculptures and wear them during her performances. She was a brilliant painter. You know, she wrote children's books. She created animations, and I mean, the list goes on. She pretty much did everything. And it's all here, and I love that. about this exhibition, we were able to acquire some really beautiful works that represent her as a full-on artist.
Absolutely. As we stand on the campus of UC San Diego, talk to me about her work with the Department of Visual Arts from 1984 to 2002. Mm-hmm. How did her being here contribute really to the identity of the visual arts department here?
Yeah. At the time, she was the only Black woman teaching. And like I said, she brought that New York fight the power energy, you know, which I think is a rare thing for La Jolla and San Diego overall. So from what I've heard from her students, who I'm really good friends with and have spent some time with just getting to know Faith as a teacher, they loved every moment of her. You know, they said she was vibrant, she wore red lipstick, she wore beautiful outfits and big statement jewelry. She was just really a glorious kind of energy on campus, and she taught them how to use their voices and incorporate their voices into their work and not be afraid. She always spoke about being fearless. You know, one of her sayings is, you can fly, all you have to do is try. And I think she just brought that type of energy everywhere she went.
And I think it speaks volumes that for a professor of visual art,
yes,
she says, use your voice. She tells you, yeah, she doesn't tell you how to paint, she doesn't tell you how to create art, but she says, when you create art, use your voice.
Use that your seems voice, to be use amazing. Use your experiences and don't be afraid, and that's in her work all the time.
Talk to me about her quilts. Talk to me about how those really kind of challenged the status quo, mm-hmm, at the time. To put art and powerful words and imagery on quilts, talk, yeah, to me about her quilts kind of being a standout piece.
Faith was very innovative. She, and very, very smart and savvy, she knew that she wanted to travel with her art and tell her story and share her art with the world. And she knew that, you know, art is expensive to transport. So she speaks about creating quilts because she could just fold them up, put them in her suitcase or her bag, and take them to different places and, like, present them. And I just thought that was brilliant because you end up spending thousands of dollars in art transportation. And here is this woman with this idea, not only can I travel with them, but my stories are on them. Faith also really wanted to publish her books. Like I said, she's a brilliant writer. But at the time, she couldn't get a publishing deal for whatever. You know, it was really hard for Black people, especially Black women, to secure publishing deals in those days. So she said, I'm gonna just write these stories on my quilts. And she just always found a way to make things happen for herself. And her level of determination is inspiring for those reasons. And I think the quilts are her staple pieces. She really embodies that kind of like universal artist energy. She spent a lot of time in Paris, she visited Africa, and she brings all those elements into her work. She did what she wanted to do, you know? And she did what she wanted to do in a time where many people were afraid. And it was so hard back then for women, especially Black women, to be in museums and be represented by galleries. And here's this woman just doing whatever she wanted to do and saying, I'm gonna get this stuff seen. And she did.
That was my interview with Mashonda Tifrere. The exhibit Full Circle is on display through May 1st at UCSD's Mandeville Art Gallery. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.